From Fox News, it's The Candidates with Brett Baer.
On Tuesday, May 14, 2019, the governor of Montana, Steve Bullock, announced he was joining the already crowded 2020 Democratic field.
This is the fight of our time. It's been the fight of my career. I'm Steve Bullock, and I'm running for president. With your help, we will take our democracy back.
Fox News Radio's Jared Halpern has more on the Montana governor.
In November 2016, President Trump won 279,000 votes in the state of Montana. Democratic Governor Steve Bullock won nearly 256,000 to secure his second term. That is a lot of crossover votes for Republican Donald Trump and Democrat Steve Bullock.
25% to 30% of my voters voted for Donald Trump. The path to victory isn't just through the coasts. It includes places that we lost last election. Think about it. Almost a third of your counties voted for Obama twice, then Trump.
Winning in a deep red state as a Democrat has been central to Bullock's message to his party in Iowa and other early primary states. And Bullock has been winning in Montana for more than a decade. After a failed bid for attorney general in 2000, Bullock won that job in 2008 before a successful run for governor 4 years later and re-election 4 years after that. In his job as AG, Bullock was part of a challenge lifting campaign contributions by corporations and was on the losing end of the Citizens United case that reached the U.S. Supreme Court.
When I was Attorney General, I not only organized the states against Citizens United, but then when Washington and every other state said there's nothing that we could do, I brought the first challenge all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court against that case.
On environmental issues, Bullock has tried to strike a balanced approach. He has not endorsed every element of the Green New Deal, but has put in place conservation measures in his state.
You need to bring together both industry, environmentalists, scientists, utilities, and say, let's go short-term plans, let's go long-term plans, what it's going to take to become carbon neutral.
Bullock has received high marks from pro-choice organizations vetoing abortion restrictions. He supports the death penalty and expanded Medicaid in Montana. He fell short of polling and fundraising thresholds to appear in the first Democratic presidential debate. Instead, he offered his commentary on Twitter. In Washington, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
Jared, thanks. We bring in our panel now Tom Bevin, co-founder and president of Real Clear Politics, Susan Ferriccio, chief congressional correspondent at the Washington Examiner, and Chris Steierwalt, Fox News politics editor. Susan, the governor, you know, he has an interesting background, and his big issue is campaign financing, but he's kind of a moderate from out west. Didn't make the first debate stage, but is an intriguing character for the Democrats.
Right. He's got the distinction of winning statewide race for re-election in a state that favored Trump by 20 points, and he's a Democrat. So that's pretty good. You know, he was able to survive that, and he also has the distinction of working with a Republican legislature and touting the fact that he's able to get things done even though the opposite party runs the state government. And he's talked about achieving health care reform and, of course, as you mentioned, campaign finance reform, getting all these things done, even though he's got, you know, dominant Republicans in the legislature. So he's got a lot going for him. And what's interesting about this, this is the kind of candidate that you would think voters would want, because what you hear a lot from people is we want Congress to get things done. We want the Congress and the White House to work together. We're sick of the partisan fighting. We're tired of it all. Look, along comes a candidate who's like, hey, I can do that. And he's not even on the debate stage.
Not on the debate stage. Not in the polls, Tom. I mean, he's really not showing up. He got in late.
Yeah.
And, you know, we say late in the big picture in context. It's not that late. I mean, our first debate last time was August 2015 in Cleveland, where we had 17 candidates. Now there's 20 on the stage in June.
Yeah, and his state legislature was still in session. That's why he decided to not declare until after that was done. But it did hurt him. I mean, he barely missed the debates, And I'm sure Democratic voters were sitting there wondering exactly why they were listening to Marianne Williamson as opposed to a two-term governor of a red state, to Susan's point, who has passed Medicaid expansion. I mean, he's gotten stuff done for his state with a Republican legislature. You know, he's a former attorney general. He has a JD from Columbia. He's a smart guy. He seems like one of the, you know, sort of common sense centrist Democrats. And which, again, you look at that field, there are few and far between. And so we'll see whether he's able to gain any traction, but right now he's sort of stuck in neutral.
So you've got, to Tom's point, that moderate side, if you want to call it moderate or more centrist. You've got Joe Biden, you've got Amy Klobuchar, you've got Michael Bennett, you've got Governor Hickenlooper, and you've got Bullock.
Really,
and that's where you are. And so if Biden falls down, which is very possible, looking at his first debate performance, you know, it maybe somebody like Bullock is a fight to safety.
So Bullock has a great reputation. Republicans and Democrats like him, like working with him. He's an administrator type, right? He is a pragmatic, want to do stuff. He is not an ideologue. That doesn't set him up well with the party's liberal base, that quarter of the party that is really interested in radical and transformative change. But the problem is, the Democrats are not a Western party. The last first-time nominee that the Democrats chose from west of the Mississippi was George McGovern in 1972.
That went well.
That did not work out. and then before that, you have to go all the way back to William Jennings Bryan for obviously Truman and Lyndon Johnson were in different circumstances. But Democrats don't pick Westerners. And there aren't a lot of Democrats out there for whatever reason. The reason Joe Biden has been successful is that voters, especially African-American voters in large population centers in the East and in the South, have seen him as the most viable choice to beat Donald Trump. What does Steve Bullock, from a state with a population of only about 1 million people, what does Steve Bullock do to have those voters, the ones who are open to a more moderate, pragmatic message, the real Democratic mainstream, what does he do to have those folks see him? I have no idea.
Well, he thinks it's campaign finance reform.
Good luck. I mean, and this is actually how the calendar works against him in a big way. A moderate's not going to win in Iowa or New Hampshire, probably. South Carolina is your first chance, and that's where you have to score big with black voters. And I just have a hard time seeing him racking up the numbers with African-American Democrats.
Well, Montana is not.
No.
Well, and interestingly, what do Democrats need? What didn't they have in 2016? They didn't have someone who could win Michigan and Ohio and Wisconsin and Indiana. Well, along comes somebody who argues, hey, I could probably win these states. We could win the electoral vote that way. And you're very unlikely to see it. And this is the case, though, with primaries. Primaries tend to swing toward the extremes in both parties. And, of course, Trump is an exception, I think, obviously. But for Democrats, they tend to aim for the most progressive candidate. It's set up that way. And so it's very hard to envision a candidate like him ever succeeding.
But Tom, why isn't Chuck Schumer saying, Steve, we need you to run for Senate in Montana. Don't run for president. Or, like Hickenlooper, is he running for president, but he's really running for Senate and he doesn't know it yet?
I think it's more the latter than the former. I bet you Chuck Schumer did say exactly that to him. Democrats have been struggling to come up with quality candidates in a lot of these races. But look, I can't be overestimated what Chris was talking about. The fact that we hear all these polls and we see all these numbers about the Democratic Party is not as left wing. It's more centrist. The majority of Democrats are open to centrism. That's been a debate that's been going on back and forth. Those voters don't get to vote, aren't going to be able to express their will until, the second month of next year. And the question is whether, these centrist-type candidates can ride this out and stay viable and stay competitive in a situation where the progressive base of the party is really what's driving the conversation, as we saw on the debate stage in Miami. And so, I would also say, though, you look at past history, this is a wide open primary and weird things can happen. And, the most progressive candidate in 2004 was Howard Dean, and he imploded and Democrats ended up with John Kerry. He was not a raging progressive at the time. So
you can see
how the inter-party fights that are going to go on could create opportunities for candidates that, maybe it's a Steve Bullock, maybe it's somebody else who's not very high in the polls right now.
So of the ones I mentioned of that more centrist batch, again, assuming Biden falls down, who is best positioned? I mean, did Bennett have a good showing? Klobuchar? Hickenlooper? Bullock? Who else?
Buttigieg. I know he's not. I know that his ideas are not moderate. He has some pretty transformative, big, radical ideas. But his countenance is moderate. His style is moderate, and he has a conciliatory tone that sounds like something that could work. So I think
you don't think that the mayor and the African American and the police stuff took him out of the running.
I think he has serious problems there. I don't think it was an extinction event for the Buttigiegosaurus, but
there's no crying in politics.
There's no crying in the hallway, especially when it's about you. And it was a big problem. But he still looks to me. Bennett is one to consider. Bennett is a potential late break. You could see a potential late break for Bennett. He has a good resume. He's an Obama guy. He can put the money together. He is a person, you know, really.
He's a serious policy guy.
And education's his issue. When you talk about people like this, you have to say, okay, if the magic happened, right, if the moment occurred, as it did for Bill Clinton in 1992, at this point in the 1992 stakes, Bill Clinton was not at the top of anybody's list. It wasn't going to happen. But then when the door opened, Bill Clinton was ready to take advantage of it. Who could do that? I think Bennett is one. But I also think that Bullock is one, that if it happened in the right way, if this set up in the right way, Bullock is a guy who could charge through the opening.
But where's his money coming from? Where's his support coming from? I mean, like we've said, you have to have this reservoir in order to make it to these states.
And eventually they run out, and that's when people, that's really what drives people dropping out of the race, is when they run out of money. And he has to continue to make debate appearances, and then they raise money off those appearances. So if he has a successful, like Kamala Harris is going to be doing pretty well after some very positive appearance for her. But that is a big issue, is where is he going to get his money? But I do think, going back to what Chris was saying, when you go back to Clinton, though, I covered that race. I date myself a little bit.
When you were 12. You were 12.
No, I wasn't.
It was for the junior high newspaper.
Close. Bill Clinton won that because he was just so darn charismatic. You need somebody who can really engage with voters, really resonate with voters. And so if we were to pick someone out of the names you just dropped about who could be the moderate sub, I do think Mayor Pete has the most potential out of all of them. I just don't think the rest have the right tone that voters, especially since Obama, everything has changed. They're looking for personality, and that's obviously what helped Trump. You know, big, bold personality. You need somebody that has a personality people can relate to. And so Buttigieg isn't this big, exciting guy on the stage, but there's something about his personality that people like. Mm-hmm. That's why when he entered the race, everyone just exploded with excitement. Who's this guy? Wow, he's so interesting. And I didn't say that with Klobuchar, and they didn't say that with Bullock. They didn't say, you know, so yep. You've got to look at it that way. It's the kind of the visceral stuff. That
yeah, all right, so we'll go down the row here, Chris, Susan, Tom, about Bullock. By the way, on the debate, I was struck by all of these guys like Buttigieg, Swalwell, saying they have hundreds of thousands of dollars of student loans, you know, and saying that is, you know, that's their regular guy connection. You know, the last time we as a country got the guy with the 747 and the gold-plated bathroom, this time we're going to go for the guy with hundreds of thousands of dollars of student loan debts just to...
#relatable.
#relatable. Yeah, right. Back to Bullock. Does he make it to Iowa, Chris?
I think so.
I think he's campaigning. He was campaigning there during the debate since he wasn't invited on stage. I mean, he's still trying. He's trying to. I don't know if he'll get there or not. I mean, he's got to resonate somewhere. He's got to be, you know. Don't even know. If you go ask anybody on the street who the guy is, nobody even knows who he is. That's a real problem.
He wears blue jeans, okay? That's what's
right.
Important.
Tom?
I think it's too early to tell because he's just getting started, and again, he missed the first debate, so we'll see how
this goes. Off the hook.
Seriously.
I will add that Steve Bullock also has college, or had, I probably may still have, college debt, college tuition debt. And went and took his first job because as a in the attorney general's office, because it would allow him to have his school help pay for, he went into public service, so they helped pay for his debt. So he's got that going for him.
Were you guys like roommates or something? How do you know? I feel...
Wait, you know all that about him and you can't say whether he's going to make it to Iowa or not.
I think he might. I think he very well could. I just think it's a little bit too early, and we've got to see how much support that he can garner. But, you know, he's a guy where it could happen for him potentially. I think Amy Klobuchar, I mean, Susan mentioned her in passing. You know, she's not the flashiest candidate, but if Biden falls, you know, she's a legitimate contender, sort of steady Eddie right there for those centrist candidates. So I keep an eye on her as well.
I agree. Okay, panel, thank you. That'll do it for this week. You can hear more of this series at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts. Make sure to leave a rating and review. We want to hear from you. For Tom, Susan, and Chris, I'm Brett Baer. We'll see you next time.